Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. This is the Tuesday, July 21st, 2020 edition of the show. We're going to get right into some late breaking news, literally news that broke as I was getting my stuff started up to record the show. But before we do that, I want to talk to you a little bit about the show. Obviously, you know, you can follow us at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. You can follow me at StatsSAC and follow Mark at King_Producer. We also want to remind you of our title sponsor, RockAuto.com. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices. When you go to RockAuto.com, make sure to let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you there. We're going to talk a little bit about the awards season. Obviously, there was some news about NBA awards that have come out this weekend, and today we'll get into that in the second and third segment of the show. But in the first segment, I want to get right into the news that just broke, some unfortunate news. That is in regards to Justice Winslow. It appeared yesterday at practice, Winslow injured his hip, and therefore it has been ruled that he is out for the remainder of the 2019-2020 season. Now, obviously, this is significant news. It's unwanted news. It's news that definitely puts a hit. It puts a bit of a damper on some of the anticipation and excitement about the Grizzlies. But I want to put it a little bit into perspective, because in terms of the Grizzlies and Winslow, this has both significance in the present and in the future. In terms of the present, when it comes to Winslow, the reason why it's a significant hit is because, obviously, Winslow, while he has not played yet for the Grizzlies, there was a lot of anticipation and a lot of excitement about what he was going to bring to the table. Obviously, when the season was suspended back on March 11th, Winslow was coming back from a back injury, something that had kept him out for a significant portion of the season, and he was planning on coming back towards the middle of March, within a week of when the season was suspended. Well, obviously, over the 4 months, between when the season was suspended and now, Winslow had gotten healthy. There was plenty of speculation about his abilities. Coach Taylor Jenkins has been talking him up like crazy. He was very excited to see how Winslow was performing with the team. Winslow was also establishing himself in the Memphis market. He was making a lot of news in terms of, you know, his perspective on all the things going on in terms of national news. He was also making some, he was very interactive with the local media. So there was just a lot of anticipation and excitement about what Winslow was going to bring to the team. What exactly is that, though? Well, with Winslow, a lot of it centers on his ability to add athleticism and secondary options to the team. For instance, on offense, it was likely that he was at some point going to start. He could have been a secondary shooter to Dylan Brooks on the outside for the Grizzlies in the starting lineup. He could have been a good secondary playmaker for the Grizzlies to let Ja work off the ball more and give you a little bit, give some new wrinkles and some new looks to the offense. But the other big thing that Winslow was going to provide was good perimeter defense, good athletic perimeter defense, which the Grizzlies certainly needed, especially against some of these teams that have very good outside shooting in terms of their offensive game plan that they'll be facing in Orlando. Well, now, unfortunately, that's no longer there. While that is significant, while a lot of what Winslow's skill set brings to the table was needed stuff for the Grizzlies to have to be more competitive and to raise their ceiling in Orlando, one of the things that kind of minimizes his absence is the fact that now the Grizzlies simply are going to be playing with what they had all year. We have not lost a significant piece from what we had. We've just lost the ability to add to what we had developed. And that's definitely a loss. That's definitely a negative in terms of not having Winslow as an option. But now the Grizzlies are simply going to be playing with the deck that they've played with all year. So that in and of itself is a silver lining. There have been a lot of speculation through articles and different conversations about, you know, with Winslow coming in, with Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson being healthy again, who potentially would lose minutes. Well, in my opinion, it's now no longer a question of is Josh Jackson or Kyle Anderson going to be a part of the rotation. More than likely, both will. I think that now it's going to be based off matchup. I think that you probably will see Kyle Anderson start again. I think that his defensive presence and his ability to add playmaking on offense is certainly something that's going to be beneficial, and his intelligence will be there to add benefit against these more talented and more well-functioned teams, I think. So Kyle Anderson certainly gains minutes in this situation. I do think Josh Jackson will now be part of the equation in the second unit. His athleticism, especially against like the Pelicans and, you know, other teams that run and gun kind of like Portland, for instance, I think that he will be an asset both offensively and defensively in the second unit. So I think Anderson and Josh Jackson benefit the most from Justice Winslow no longer being a part of the equation in Orlando. Another wrinkle that I think you could see, especially early on against the Trailblazers and perhaps the Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs, I think you could see a starting combination of De'Anthony Melton at a shooting guard and then Dylan Brooks at small forward, or both on the wings. I think that that could be a favorable combination, especially against the Trailblazers trying to contain Lillard and McCollum. I think that Chris Harrington hinted at that in a recent article that he wrote over at the Daily Memphian. So I think you could see De'Anthony Melton gain some playing time as well, maybe even start with Brooks and Ja Morant on the wings. So while Justice Winslow not being there as an option is certainly a negative, I do think that, you know, the Grizzlies' depth gains even more value from this, and that they can give different looks based off matchups. I don't really think you're going to see like a structured, used every game type starting lineup. I think that Taylor Jenkins is going to base his lineups off the matchups that they face, and that's the right way to do it, because if the Grizzlies are already going to be, you know, at a detriment when it comes to overall talent, they're going to have to make up for that in some way, and they're going to have to use their depth to try to gain advantages based off lineup matchups. That's how Winslow's loss potentially impacts things in the present. For the future, the focus is more on Winslow than it is the Grizzlies, because here's the thing. This is just another addition to a growing list of concern when it comes to Justice Winslow and his injuries. You know, he's had significant injuries this year, in the past, last year. He definitely is now, in my opinion, considered to be an injury-prone player. The Grizzlies obviously like what they see when he's on the court. They obviously feel he can add value, and he does have his next year guaranteed. But beyond that, his 2021-2022 contract option is not guaranteed. So if he's out of Orlando, now basically Winslow has just one season to really convince the Grizzlies and make sure that he shows he truly is worth the investment. Because since he's not going to be a part of Orlando anymore, if he has any type of hiccups, if he unfortunately suffers any more significant injuries along the way, it's more than likely that he's going to run into, it may not be as favorable of a chance for him to get his option exercised for the 2021-2022 season. At the very least, this makes it less of a certainty. That's the one thing about this that's unfortunate for both Winslow and the Grizzlies. On paper and in film, it certainly makes sense as to what Winslow brings to the table. He definitely adds to the Grizzlies' ceiling, but he's not, but that's only if he's on the court. If he's off the court, all he is, in my opinion, is a liability. That's nothing against Winslow. It's just that you're paying him for his potential instead of his production. And now it's becoming a growing concern to where, in my opinion, he literally is an injury-prone player. Again, I don't think that this puts the writing on the wall. I don't think that this means anything. This doesn't guarantee the Grizzlies aren't going to pick up his option for the 21-22 season. It just means that they're going to have there's going to be less room for error when it comes to Winslow. Next season, if he comes out, has a great year, certainly you pick up the option. But now that he's out of Orlando, it's only going to be next year that the Grizzlies are really going to have the chance to base their future decisions on him off of. And if he runs into any other significant injuries next season, I think it's going to make a very difficult decision. And it's going to be a decision, you know, in which it's going to be hard for the Grizzlies to commit that type of money to him, you know, if they can't trust that he'll be on the court. So yes, while, you know, we've preached a little bit about how in Orlando, you can't really put too much emphasis on things. Don't really judge the future based off what happens in these unprecedented times. I do think that is not necessarily the case in this situation. Losing Winslow definitely does take away from the Grizzlies' potential. It lowers their ceiling. Yes, they have the deck that they've, you know, been playing with all year, but now they're in a situation where they're playing more talented teams. So I do think that while they still should be okay, I think they're going to feel the impact of not having Winslow as an option in the present. But certainly as far as the future goes, I definitely do think that this, you know, it definitely does start to put things into question. Winslow is really going to have to make sure that his health is maintained next year if he wants his 2021-2022 option to be picked up. And if the Grizzlies want to make him a part of the future, he's going to have to show them that he can stay on the court. So just an unfortunate turn of events, but these things happen. Hopefully Winslow will be able to get back to good health, and he'll be ready to go once the season starts next year and the Grizzlies are ready again to attack the NBA and hopefully make another playoff run in the 2020-2021 season. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to discuss a lot of the awards information that has come out over the past couple of days and talk about some of the specific awards where some Grizzlies, both on their staff and on the court, have a good chance to make some noise. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The summer is here, the heat is rising, and you and your family are likely constantly on the go, so it's not a very opportune time to have car trouble. Well, as we all know, that's exactly what will happen. And if you're someone like me who doesn't do their own repairs, it's definitely a pickle to be in. Well, thankfully, I know where I can go and where you can go to get the parts that you need quickly and effectively, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is very easy to use. Within a few clicks, you're likely going to find that any part that you need for any make and model of car that you might have. And you don't have to have a lot of experience, whether you're a do-it-yourself or someone like me who needs to get someone else to do the repairs, or you repair cars for a living, Rock Auto is a great source to have. And it's very cost effective. This is a family-owned business, so these folks know it's hard to break a budget to do car parts, so they make price is very effective to remain in your budget. If you go to rockauto.com right now, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Let rockauto.com know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So obviously, you know, in the first segment, we talked about the unfortunate news as far as Justice Winslow goes. Yes, it's definitely a detriment. It's a negative to not be able to have him in the equation in Orlando. I think the Grizzlies will be all right. You know, again, the Grizzlies know what they have. They know how to use the parts that they have. Taylor Jenkins knows how to use the parts that he has to exceed expectations and stay competitive. It's going to be a little harder road to navigate because of the talented teams that they're playing. Justice would have certainly been a nice piece to have to utilize. But like I say, in my opinion, the bigger concern is not necessarily Orlando. I just think the Justice Winslow situation is the one exception to the general rule to where this development is not necessarily that impactful in Orlando for the Grizzlies, but in terms of his long-term impact. Obviously, this just adds to the list of growing concerns that Winslow is going to have a hard time staying healthy. So I do think this adds uncertainty to how the Grizzlies will commit to him once his contract decision, the club option, comes up after next year. There's just not going to be a lot of room for error for Justice. He's going to have to remain healthy and obviously contribute to the Grizzlies' cause next year if he does run into into any injuries. I definitely think it becomes a big question as to whether or not the Grizzlies can commit to him beyond next year. But obviously, it seems as if he's going to make a full recovery, so he will be ready to go for the 2020-2021 season. Well, focusing on this season, again, the 2019-2020 season, news came out this weekend in regards to something that a lot of Grizzlies fans have been paying close attention to, and that is the NBA awards season. Now, obviously, there had been a lot of speculation as to how the season continuing in Orlando might impact the development of these awards. How will the decisions be made based off the awards? Well, the good thing is that the NBA came out today and said that the award season will only be based on what happened through March 11th. In other words, the consideration for the awards that happened in the NBA for the regular season will only go through March 11th. Orlando won't have any impact on them. And as a matter of fact, that was announced over the weekend. Today it was announced that voting would occur between July 24th and 28th so they can make sure Orlando doesn't impact these decisions. And then the official awards will be announced come on the playoffs. So let's talk a little bit about these awards. You know, the Grizzlies, as I mentioned in the first segment, they have a little bit more, they're represented more in these conversations than they have over the past few years, especially the awards of Rookie of the Year and Coach of the Year. And of course, I'm talking about Ja Morant and Taylor Jenkins. Now let's focus on Rookie of the Year, but let's not take a lot of time. If anyone has any argument that another rookie, including Zion, has any chance of beating Ja Morant for the Rookie of the Year title, or for the Rookie of the Year award, you're full of shit. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. There is no viable argument that anyone has that another rookie should be in the conversation with Ja Morant. There just shouldn't. As a matter of fact, the bigger conversation should not be who should challenge Morant for winning the award, But give me another rookie that's going to be able to compare to Brandon Clark for winning runner-up. I'll talk a little bit about that in the third segment. But when it comes to Rookie of the Year, there should not be any discussion. As a matter of fact, over at ESPN.com today, Ja Morant was the unanimous awards winner based off 20 of the NBA experts over at ESPN. He was the only unanimous awards winner. So there's no question. Ja Morant should be Rookie of the Year. A bigger discussion could be Coach of the Year. And obviously, there's a lot of different candidates. I've kind of got my top five, but just want to talk a little bit about Taylor Jenkins, presence in that conversation. Should he be in the conversation? He certainly should. Does he really have a chance of winning? I don't think so. I think that he's a long shot. Yes, he did win Coach of the Year in January. He certainly has been one of the bigger surprises this year as a coach. First-year head coach, working with arguably the youngest team in the league, and is in a situation that is just a complete restart, reset of an organization that truly needed it. And Taylor Jenkins comes in and unexpectedly is in the playoff conversation and has a very good chance of making the playoffs. Jenkins' ability to develop players, his ability to come up with schemes and strategies that feature the strengths of his players, all of those things are a compliment to him, and his connection with the players have been great as well. Any test that Jenkins has put, that you put in front of Jenkins, or any box that he needed to check, he checked it three or four times over. So Jenkins has been a resounding success. It's just that the Grizzlies have not had as much success as other situations where coaches have done just as well. And you're going to give the Coach of the Year award to someone who likely has a legitimate shot to at least get to the conference finals or finals, in my opinion. A couple of other names out there that have better resumes for this award than Jenkins. For me, it starts with Rick Carlisle in Dallas. I know that he certainly has Kristaps Porzingis. He has Luka Doncic. But the development of those players, Porzingis coming off injury, Doncic to the level that he has in his second year, it's been a phenomenal job by Rick Carlisle. Yes, some folks thought that the Mavericks could be playoff contenders, and they certainly have delivered. I think they certainly have exceeded expectations. So in my opinion, Rick Carlisle probably has a stronger resume. But I don't think that he has the best one. I think Mike Budenholzer with the Bucks certainly has a strong resume. Yes, I know that he has Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the best player in the league. But the reason why I think Budenholzer definitely does have a stake, a claim to potentially win Coach of the Year. He's got the best team in the league. After a season in which there was a lot of teams that got star-level players, LeBron and Anthony Davis, Kawhi and Paul George, other teams have stars doubling up, Harden and Westbrook. In my opinion, the Bucks don't have another player that matches up with Antetokounmpo like those combinations. However, Budenholzer has made that part of the discussion. He's made players like Chris Middleton certainly exceed expectations. There's a lot of players on the Bucks that nobody expected to reach the ceilings that they have due to how well Coach Budenholzer has done. And the other thing about it is that he's clearly got the best team in place, despite there being other teams that have more top-tier talent in their two best players. This team is a great defensive team, evidently an historic defensive team if you look at the stats, and obviously Antetokounmpo not only is going to, in the heavy discussion to win MVP, but he also is in this discussion to win Defensive Player of the Year, a development that a lot of people didn't see coming even 2 years ago when Antetokounmpo was making his case for best player in the league. So Budenholzer is certainly in the conversation. I also think that Nick Nurse of the Toronto Raptors is in that conversation as well. The Raptors, after losing Kawhi, they've dealt with a lot of injuries this year, yet they're right there in the conversation. One of the four best defensive teams in the league, five best overall teams in the league, second in the East, despite losing Kawhi Leonard. I think that Nick Nurse has done a great job. He's also been without a lot of his best players for extended periods, and the fact remains that his coaching has just been phenomenal. So I think that he certainly is in the conversation as well. In my opinion, I'd probably go Nurse to Budenholzer 3, Carlisle 4 in the equation, and in turn, Jenkins 5. But in my opinion, the coach that should win the NBA Coach of the Year award, that's definitely Billy Donovan. And I know that others could have stronger resumes depending on your how you look at Coach of the Year awards. But to me, Billy Donovan, no one lost more talent. Basically, in the present, the trade that Billy Donovan experience to his roster was Russell Westbrook and Paul George for Danilo Gallinari, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and Chris Paul. Now, obviously, that is talent coming back to him. But he lost two of arguably the 15 best players in the NBA in Russell Westbrook and Paul George. They did get a lot of assets for the future, but very few people expected for the Thunder to be there like they are in the playoffs, and yet here they are. I believe their record is 40-27 now, clearly in the playoff picture, and Donovan has them playing a style of basketball that fits their team. He's shown great ability to develop these players. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, has reached a level to where many think he's a future All-Star. Dennis Schroeder has finally found his place as an uber sixth man to where he's in the sixth man of the year conversation. Chris Paul has seen a career resurgence as well. If you want to call it that, he's basically just Chris Paul. But the thing is that Donovan, in terms of leading a team from who many expected to be in the lottery to being in the playoffs and having the winning record that they do and playing the style of basketball that they do, very guard-oriented, very good defensive schemes, I think Donovan is the choice for Coach of the Year. So in terms of the two main races in which the Grizzlies have people that are in the conversation, I think that Ja Morant is the clear winner for Rookie of the Year. Again, you're in my opinion, if you try to make a case for another rookie, you're full of shit. I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody that's got an opinion for somebody else to win Rookie of the Year, but there's just so much overwhelming reason as to why Ja Morant should win it. And when it comes to Coach of the Year, I definitely think that Taylor Jenkins has a claim to be in the top five, but I do think that there are other coaches out there, because their teams have had better years, that are more likely to win. What we're going to do is we're going to take another quick break, and when we get back, well, I'm going to talk specifically about Brandon Clark and why he should be a bigger part of these awards conversations than many people might think. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So like we discussed in the second segment, the award seasons are here, and I did not go over this, but me personally, in terms of the people that I would choose for these awards. So for Rookie of the Year, obviously, I would go Ja Morant. Sixth Man of the Year, in my opinion, I would go Montrezl Harrell, but I would not be disappointed with Dennis Schroeder. I just think Montrezl Harrell has been phenomenal for the Clippers. I also think that Coach of the Year is Billy Donovan for what he's done with the Thunder. I think that the most improved player, in my opinion, should be Bam Adebayo. I know that Brandon Ingram and others are in that conversation as well, but I just think in terms of transforming from who Adebayo was looked at before the season to now one of the clear best big men in the league and a true all-star level talent for years to come, I think that he should win most improved player. In terms of defensive player, I think that it's Giannis, and the reason why I do is because I think that his ability at the rim and just in general all over the defense, I think that he should win Defensive Player of the Year, and I also think that he should win MVP, because Giannis just right now is the best player in the league. And that's not just opinion, that's not just ability. On both sides of the court, I don't think anyone makes an overall impact like Giannis does. So my awards, again, Rookie of the Year, Ja Morant. Sixth Man of the Year, Montrezl Harrell. Coach of the Year, I think, is Billy Donovan. Most Improved Player, I think, is Bam Adebayo. Defensive Player of the Year is Giannis Antetokounmpo, and MVP is Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I do want to end this Locked On Grizzlies podcast by talking about Brandon Clark. And the reason why that is, I don't think Brandon Clark is someone that has a legitimate shot, you know, at any awards session this year. But I do think that he is the one Grizzlies player who legitimately should be in the conversation for two of them. Number one is Rookie of the Year. Now, I want to go ahead and state this right now. As I stated in the second segment, you're full of it if you feel that any rookie has a legitimate reason to be Rookie of the Year over Ja Morant. A case just doesn't exist. But I will say that that's one conversation, and it's a separate conversation from who the best rookie has been. I feel that Zion Williamson has shown a higher ceiling as a rookie than any other rookie that's been in the league this year. That's obvious. He's one of the best rookie talents to come since LeBron James did back in 2003 into the NBA, and he was the number one pick. It was expected for him to show the best talent. At this point, I think that he's more talented and makes a bigger impact than Ja Morant. That's no slight to Ja. It's just the truth. That's why Zion was taken number one. But I still do not think that means Zion should be runner-up for the Rookie of the Year. I think that that belongs to Brandon Clark. And the reason why that is because quantity-wise, Zion certainly isn't there. others are compared to Brandon. In terms of field goal attempts this year, Brandon Clark was 15th in the league. Now, I know more goes into the equation, but my point is that Brandon Clark, because of injury and minute and his role on the Grizzlies, I do think that he, in terms of totals, other rookies could be above him. But the quality in Clark's play, I feel, more than makes up for him being a little bit behind in quantity. Win shares. Brandon Clark is the highest win share producing rookie in the NBA, even over Ja Morant, who's second. Win shares per 48 minutes. No matter how many minutes were played, that puts Zion, Ja, and Brandon Clark on a nearly equal level. Brandon Clark had the highest win shares per 48 minutes. He was in the top 10 in defensive win shares. He was the most efficient, and he had one of the most efficient seasons a rookie has had. In terms of rookies that had over 300 field goal attempts, Brandon Clark was first in true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage. Basically, what I'm getting at is that the quality of play that Brandon Clark provided when he was on the court, there's not a rookie who matched it. And even though Brandon Clark came off the bench while other rookies started, he still made more than enough impact to where I feel he truly should be runner-up. His role with the Grizzlies, the fact that he has been a big part to how well they have succeeded, just like Ja has, I think all those things combine to create a resume that makes Brandon Clark the clear runner-up in the Rookie of the Year conversation. Again, you can call that bias. Other rookies, Coby White, PJ Washington, Eric Paschal, Kendrick Nunn, other rookies have the totals. But in terms of when you look at the quantity and the quality, and the fact that Clark remained consistent throughout the season, whereas some other rookies started off slow and came on strong, and others started off strong and kind of slowed down, Clark, just like Ja, has remained as effective as ever as the season has gone along. So for those reasons, I do think Brandon Clark should be your Rookie of the Year runner-up. The other part of the equation that I think Brandon Clark could eventually enter as a candidate is Sixth Man of the Year. Now, he's not there this year. Others have had bigger roles as Sixth Men on teams that have been more successful. Dennis Schroeder, Lou Williams, even Derrick Rose, though the Pistons haven't been as successful as the Grizzlies, Derrick Rose has made a great impact. I don't think anybody's made a bigger impact than Montrezl Harrell. That's why he is my Sixth Man of the Year. But I do think that Clark is there. I think Clark has an outside shot at the at being in the top five in that conversation. And I truly also feel that as Clark, over the next few seasons, as he plays out his first contract, I think eventually he does become a clear candidate for a future Sixth Man of the Year award. I think that with Jonas and Jaren in the lineup, they complement each other. But I just think that that is the one award that Brandon Clark could have the best chance of winning. If you were to ask me on the Grizzlies roster, what player has the best chance to win a league award the quickest? I think that it's Brandon Clark winning Sixth Man of the Year. I don't know if he's in the top five this year. I think that he does have a claim to be that. But that's the great thing about the find that has been Brandon Clark. Not only has he made, you know, a historic impact as a rookie, just like Ja has, but also the fact that he is playing at a level that many other players play at. Though these players come off the bench, the reason why they're in the six-man conversation is their production is at an all-star level. That's why Brandon Clark compares to many of these younger players like Pascal Siakam, Domantas Sabonis, Bam Adebayo, Kristaps, and Montrezl Harrell. He plays at nearly an all-star level, or at least at the same level as those guys do, when he's on the court. So while I don't think Clark is, you know, going to come close to winning any award this season, I do think that he should earn more. There should be more respect on his name, for lack of a better way of saying it. He should clearly be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year runner-up and top five in the Sixth Man of the Year award. And the fact that we're having this conversation a little over a year since the Grizzlies drafted him just goes to show how crucial and how impactful Clark has been and how critical he is to the Grizzlies' continued success. And there's a very good chance that he'll only get better from here. So thank you for joining us for this show. We had a lot of content to cover, some negative, some positive. Obviously, the news about Justice Winslow is something that, you know, the Grizzlies are just going to have to deal with. We hope that Winslow, you know, gets 100% healthy and comes out next year and is the addition many had hoped he would be when we traded for him. But unfortunately, we're going to have to wait till next year. Thankfully, we'll get the awards information as time goes on. We should be able to enjoy Ja Morant winning Rookie of the Year, and hopefully Brandon Clark and Taylor Jenkins also finishing high up on some lists. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. You can follow me on Twitter at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, Mark at King_producer. You also can check out the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Stitcher, iPhone, Megaphone, podcast via Apple, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast, the Locked On Grizzlies Network is available. And if you were to want to have, you know, your job or your cause sponsored, let us know. Shoot me or Mark a DM. We'll be glad to talk with you. Until next time, thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.